amazing. It was 409 in there.
Slide glass.
Yeah, that place is so overpriced. Empty, and I feel so guilty. I get like $5. I don't want to give them the money.
I think
the cheapest. I think.
We are live.
Yeah, that place is—it's like 20 cents.
Hello,
cheaper.
Someone in the back there. Hello, we're live.
It says live. It says live.
Yeah. Okay. Call to order, and call to order. I'd like to order some fresh muffins, wouldn't you? And a bagel. Yeah. That should be, at least when you have a meeting this early in the morning, that would be the order. Well, welcome, April 17th, 2008, springtime meeting of the Promotions Committee. For those of you who don't have spring allergies, good luck. All right, we see that we have, it looks like we have public comment today. So, let's get rolling with the public comment.
Good morning. I'm Trina Doherty,
yeah.
Resident of Morro Bay for about 30 years. I see lots of familiar faces up there, and I'm a former member of the Promotions Committee under the guidance of Ed Biagini. And I just thought I'd come today to give a couple of comments about him and something that you're going to be talking about today, I believe, is the destination guide. So I just, I was on the committee for about 3 years, and Ed was quite a mentor to me. He brought me along kind of, kicking and screaming to the vice chair position. And Ed really brought a sense of humor to this committee and a committee. He had been on it from the beginning when I believe the budget was around $20,000-$25,000. Now this job falls to John Sorgenfrey because he's been on it as long. But, Ed knew what had been tried, what hadn't been tried, why it had been tried, why it worked, and maybe why it didn't work. And he was always willing to maybe adapt it to the new technology. So he really was a historian. He knew what had been done. So in his absence, I thought I would just give you a couple little historical things. There were two things that I know Ed was really, really proud of. He was proud of the committee and proud of all the work. But one of them was the website. When it was a fledgling, even when I joined the committee, but it went from kind of funky to really a world-class website. And it's just got so many capabilities now. And I know that he was really, really proud of that. It enabled us to drive people with our advertising to the website. And that was a huge shift in all the advertising. The other thing that he was most proud of and he always wanted was the destination guide. And that was his title for this. And I know that it's coming up on the agenda to discuss maybe how many you have left and what to do with it in the future. Well, I had been on the committee for about 2 months and ended up being the committee chair for this committee, for the subcommittee for this. And prior to this fulfillment piece and this hard copy beauty piece, as we called it, everything was done on the copier at the visitor center or at the chamber. So there were little pieces of paper, and it was just done in black and white on the copier. So when you'd go to trade shows, I'd be passing out sort of just copies. And we really took it from that to this beautiful, beautiful piece. And we specifically didn't put any advertising in it so that it could be timeless. We worked very, very hard on it. And I just wanted to kind of give you that perspective about it, because it really, when someone receives this, whether it be sent down to a media or our visitors at the visitor center or at the trade shows, this is really a keepable piece. It's beautiful, and it really shows, the nature and the essence of Morro Bay. So I just wanted to let you know that I was watching. There are people out there watching, and I don't always watch it live, but I pick it up and just recognize all of you, and you're doing a great job. And I just think if you ever get into a bind and you don't know what to do, think what Ed would do, because he was really a great leader on the committee. So thank you very much, and good luck.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good to see you again. this early in the morning, and now you have to trundle off to work again?
Yes, and I do miss Billy and the coffee, don't you? Yeah, yeah. So nobody, yeah. I see no one's bringing just a pot of coffee and muffins lately. David, you brought it up. Maybe it's your job.
Yeah, it could be an issue. Well, actually, believe it or not, I did speak with the new people at Top Dog. And they said, oh, yeah, please write us up a proposal or something. I don't think there's any conflict with them being able to provide coffee. So.
Of course you did, David, because you are so good at
no,
that.
No, because
you're
I so need
it.
My coffee. The minutes from the preceding meeting, all in favor?
Aye.
Oh, golly, I forgot there was one thing. Well, I had it here, and I swear to God I need new glasses. It had me abstaining on the motion of the approval of the minutes from the preceding meeting?
Because you weren't there.
Oh, okay, I see that, but that was it. But I was here at the last meeting to approve the minutes of the preceding meeting. So it's the minutes of the meeting that we were approving. Okay, I just wanted to make sure of that. All right, now. The whole absence thing gets confusing. I'll put my glasses back on and we can move ahead. Thank you. All right, moving ahead then to the Visitor Center report. We have a...
Well, good morning, everyone.
Yes.
Thank you, David, and good morning, everyone. So much is happening. I'm going to kind of go through this as quickly as I can, but there's so much material here. I don't want to miss too many things. The Visitor Center is starting to pick up. We've always have been busy, but it's noticeably increased with the activity, with the good weather. I'm sure has a lot to do with it, but. We see more folks coming in, more phone calls coming in, as you can see from the breakdown. I wanted to make note that we've been keeping a more accurate account of the referrals that come in to our visitor center. And you can see we don't have a comparison because we just started this the last couple of months. But you can see the breakdown is the lodging and dining, recreation, retail, real estate events, and you can see a total of referrals about 2,200. That's really considerable, and we've been trying to keep a more accurate account, and I think that's really understated because we really do watch the numbers as they come through on a daily basis. So I just wanted to make that note. Everything it seems to be increasing. You can see our farmers market, we've added that in. It's really quite... it's grown in a number of ways, a number of vendors as well as locations. We've actually gone up to Morro Bay Boulevard. If you haven't really had the opportunity to go out and experience the community market in Morro Bay, you should do yourself a favor and go out. We have some produce that is second to none. It's just incredible, great prices, great enthusiasm about selling everything that they have there. That's Saturdays 3 to 6 on the 800 block of Morro Bay Boulevard and up the block on Main Street and then up the block on Morro Bay Boulevard. So take care of all of those people there and go out and visit. There's not a lot of fulfillment and a lot of things going on. There just hasn't been that many ads being put out. I'm sure that we're going to be on increase on that. And the website we're going to leave for John Sorgenfrey to go into. If it's okay, I'd like to kind of go into some of the activities that are coming up, unless there's questions about the Visitor Center. I don't want to forget that we're working, remember we were talking about the radio, the AM radio station 1620. Well, between John and our office, we have come up with a script, and I think...
I actually brought that.
Did you find this one? It is always a great cause. I hope that people will come out. It's at the community center, 5:30 to 7. Do yourself a favor and come out and enjoy it tonight. Second up is the blessing of the fleet. It really actually snuck up on us. Everything is ready for it. As you know, we do this every year. It's at the North T Pier. 12:30 is when it starts. We have the local religious groups and the clergy come out, and we actually bless the piers, the businesses on the Embarcadero. We also go out onto the boats and bless each one of the vessels that are in our harbor. It's quite an event. If you've never experienced it, come on out, and I think you really will enjoy it.
12:30
1230 North T Piers where it starts.
Today.
No, the 20th.
That's a straight to
8. And then following, the Fishermen's Organization and the local group actually put on a barbecue, which is at the Vets Hall, and that will follow the blessing.
This isn't been timed with the arrival of the Pope, right? No.
Yes, okay. Of course.
I think so. Right.
We try to coordinate everything like that worldwide. Third, I'm saying third, it's on my agenda. We have the Kite Festival. Lots of stuff going on. Oh, my goodness. Let's just start with April 25th. April 25th is a week from this Friday. That is when we actually do kites in the classroom. This year it will be focused in on the science of kites. And what we've included in what we've done last year, we had Del Mar. This year we have all four elementaries. Schools, Cayucas, Los Osos, Morro Bay, Del Mar, Cayucas Elementary, Monarch, and Baywood all are included this year, which we're talking about 1,400 children. They will actually soon, I think maybe Joyce can add some things to this, they will be preparing the kites for flight. So they'll be putting kites together, which in conjunction with the PTA and the Chamber of Commerce, we have come up with enough kites for every single child to put one together, which I think is going to be quite a feat. Should be very interesting. The 25th is when we actually have the assembly where we go through the presentation of the science of kites, and it was done extremely well. It was done. Actually, we had who put that together for us? It was Melody Demerit, actually, through her resources, have put together this incredible, fun display PowerPoint that the kids are really going to love. And it's not so difficult. Even I understood it, which is tremendously it has to be easy for me to deal with that part of it, but we may even show it. I know we may be able to do this after the fact. So talking about 1,400 kids should be very exciting. And then they will come out the next day, starting at 10 o'clock. We will have the parade, and that will be focused in with the Salinan Indians. Actually, the Salinan people will be part of that. I don't know if they're leading off or not.
They're actually going to follow the honor guard.
Are they? Okay. We also have a Porsche, our kite festival, about 11:30. It just depends on how things go. We will have the blessings from the Salinan people. They will bless the winds that day. If we are blessed with a day like today, it will be magnificent. We can only hope. We're at the mercy, basically, of the weather. But it should be a fun event. We are very well organized. There are a lot of participants. We have kite professionals or kite wranglers, if they like to be called. Should be an event that you won't soon forget. So please come out and enjoy and participate in that as much as you can.
Quick question about that, and this maybe goes to the city as well, is I noticed that, you know, we've had on and off the construction coming and going on the intersection of Morro Bay Boulevard. Just make sure that if, I don't know what stage, since they seem to be a little behind schedule, the roads will be at, and I just want to make sure that we're not anticipating for that weekend any particular detours, and if so, will the signage be in place to make sure, because we had thousands of people last year.
You know, I really don't think that's an issue at all. Okay. I think we're fine with that. It's far enough down with Piney that it shouldn't really, or the detours. I think we're good. Okay. If you've been down to the Rock and you see the harbor walk, I mean, it's just an incredible development. I am very pleased with it. It just will enhance the kite festival. It'll kind of be an opening, if you will, because there'll be so many people coming into our festival. They'll be able to see the harbor walk and maybe enjoy the walk and the stroll that it was really made for. So a lot of things will be happening on that day. And then, of course, right after that, boy, we have some things kicking off. We have the Cruise and Car Show that comes up on May 1st through the 4th. Everyone knows about that. I believe there's about 600-plus cars. Always an exciting event, always a fun event. Just keep that on your calendars as well. And then we have on June 7th and 8th is the
is the Sunset Travel Show. We are ready for that. We're very excited about going down this year. We just got the packet in today, so we'll be able to fill that out and get ready for that. That's the 7th and 8th.
A quick question. I missed the one meeting a few months back, but you did get a flat screen that you're happy with?
Yes, absolutely. And what we've done with that is John has created a loop, if you will, of different events that we have put on last year, well received in the Long Beach travel show. I guess it's a Times travel show down in Long Beach. And it really did bring people in. It's on a large enough screen that it actually brought people in and looked at what Morro Bay has to offer. Maybe a side note to that, too. I was able to go on a trip that we just came back on, and we brought some of these discs with us. And I have to tell you that the reaction of these people was, oh, my goodness, you have Paradise, too. And it's yes, we do. And it was really incredibly well-received. When we went overseas, so it was great, and people do that too when they don't know about Morro Bay and they see this CD that was created. It's very well done. Good job, John. And of course, how do we forget July 4th? That is coming up quicker than we increased it a little bit, so there'll be a little longer display. A lot of activities, a lot of the normal like we had last year. We have a family fun event. Rope tug-of-wars, we have egg tosses or egg runs, we'll have dunk tanks. I mean, it's the old-fashioned 4th of July picnic that everyone has experienced. Of course, good food, too. Now, let's see, what else? Okay, we have a business trip to Greece that's coming up. If you have the opportunity and you can break away, it is October 23rd of this year, please take advantage of this one. It's about $2,300. It includes 4 days on land, 4 days in the Mediterranean. You'll visit we're still not sure about 4 to 6 ports on the Mediterranean, but we will have a opportunity to relate to other businesses through the chambers. We actually meet maybe 2 or 3 chambers like we did on this last trip, and exchange ideas, exchange business relationships. They are not immune to difficulties over there. So, I mean, we were going over to see exactly how they handle their promotions and their travel and their tourism and their local businesses, just like we are doing here. And it's a great exchange. It should be a great opportunity, so take advantage of that. It will close in July, so you have until July to make a commitment. And we will have an orientation this Friday. It'll actually tomorrow at St. Timothy's Hall at 6 o'clock if you're interested. So take advantage of that if you can. Radio script, I think we've gone through all of that. By golly, I think I've got it.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I am looking forward to it, the Kite Festival, particularly. Now, we did a lot of videotaping last year, and I guess so the footage is still good. No need to challenge.
No, I'll actually cover that under my report.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Mr. Candela? I'll be there at 5:30 this afternoon at
You will?
At the Mixer.
Good.
Yeah,
look forward to seeing you there.
It'll be fun.
It will.
All right. Moving on then to the budget report and our budget. If we take a look, we seem to be at about the right place, I guess, percentage-wise in terms of our year, summer coming up.
Yes, it's coming around to you. This is actually going to take us through till the end of May because, again, we always try to look sort of ahead, and this has all been committed. So, as you can see, we're pretty much have gone through our entire campaign in print. Also, with broadcast cable and network television has been expended, and our co-op with the county CVB was spent some time ago. We still have a little bit of money left in public relations, which is, again, going to take us through till June. Same thing with the contingency funds. We still have a little bit of money for events, but again, I think that will be as we have more events coming
forward.
Is that
contingency fund after we paid for our... Okay.
Yes. And we have to spend those before the end of the budget. So some of the things that are planned for the website that will take place between now and the end of June are, I mentioned about the video insertions. These would be little video snippets of different events, people saying discover your better nature, talking about what is the better nature to them in Morro Bay. So these would be little testimonials. These are going to be seated throughout the entire website on the appropriate pages. I also want to work with Bruce Ambo in trying to finalize the parking map that we have. It's kind of an ongoing project, sort of like the Winchester House. It seems like it never ends. But at some point, I think we're getting pretty close to having it end. And the only reason for that is just because there's been a lot of different sort of evolving process. But I think we're close. I think we'd like to go back to just having a simple parking map that would show where people can park in the city, have a separate trolley map that would exist on the website. Also, we could supply that to the trolley people so they actually had some fulfillment, because I know they didn't have any money to really print that map out. So we could, I think with our budget, we could certainly justify doing that because it would be going on the website. And I'd also like to establish a parks map. So really what we're doing is we have all these locations. We ended up putting them all on one map. And I think we all found that that was a little troublesome because it was just too much information.
Busy.
So take three maps. Again, most of the work is done from the art standpoint. And get those put onto the website, and then people would actually be able to download those. So when they come into the city, they want to know where they can park. They can, before their trip, they can go on the website, download that. Same thing with the trolley, because I think we'd all agree that you really want to have something like that with you when you make your trip. I know whenever I go traveling to a new place, the first thing I do is print a map, so I kind of know where I'm going. And so I think that will be a valuable thing to have. Also want to continue my discussions with Nancy Castle regarding her wonderful book that her family did and talks about the history of Morro Bay. So what I'd like to do is have an ongoing monthly history insertion and talk about, you know, everything from the abalone divers to some of the original structures in the town, things for people can see. So it's like a little history lesson. And that would be, what we do is we would actually have 12 segments of those that would come right out of Nancy's book. And she's already agreed to that. We just need to kind of get together and figure out how to get the photos and editing the text. And, of course, we would certainly give her credit and let people know how they could get the book, because I think that would be a nice teaser for them. That pretty much concludes what we're going to be doing on the website. As far as just the overall report, actually, related back to the budget, what I'm going to do is by next meeting I'll come back with any contingency funds that we still have left. We'll know exactly where we stand, and then I'll make a proposal of how we might want to expend those. I've got a couple of ideas, but I think we'll wait and see what we end up with.
Pete.
But just a quick question, John. On the parking map, is that anywhere near completion?
Yeah, it's again, I think what we're going to end up doing, if it's okay with the committee, I think we've kind of talked this. I don't know if we really had it officially approved, but basically take the parking map, the trolley map, and the parks map. All those are on one map right now, and just create three. And then that way, then the appropriate body can have those maps, and then we can put them on the website, and they can download them.
Would it be something that maybe I could take with us to the Sunset Travel Show?
But we could talk about that and find out where you're at with your fulfillment needs. Again, a lot of this, I think, is... And I know we do need when people ask, we need to mail them something. But the reality is, again, more and more people are going to get fulfilled on the website. So, and that's actually cheaper for us. If somebody can download, they call you and they want a parking map. And for them to be able to, rather than calling and getting that map, they can actually download it. It's going to save us the printing money.
Yeah, it's true. I appreciate it. It was interesting, in just a few years since Treen has been gone, the electronic revolution has actually... change quite dramatically the nature by which we promote the city, but that money would be available for any stuff like that.
Before you move on, are we in the place where we talk about the TOT tax?
And that would work, yes, we can do that.
I just have a question. Maybe Michelle could answer that. I noticed in February the number of rooms jumped from 905 to 961. Was there new openings of a new hotel, or why did that increase take place? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I know Morro Shores came on, but they came on way Way back, I think, almost a year ago.
56 rooms came online in 1 month, and I think that somebody should check that figure.
I don't know if there's maybe hotels that had rooms down or things like that. That would be something the city of Morro Bay would maybe know with their exemptions.
It's the largest number of rooms we've had in 2 years.
Anderson's Inn.
Oh,
that could be. That's, well, a good point.
That's 14.
That's only 8.
Yeah, they have 8. Honestly, I don't know of anything new coming in that I'm aware of, unless, like I said, something changed, obviously, or if it's a typo.
I will check on that.
Okay. And also, I noticed the percentage of rooms, although we had 37% of 961 rooms, if that is correct, the year before in February, we had the percentage was greater, but the rooms were, we had 42% of 877 rooms. So although the room occupancy was down in total number of rooms, the percentage was up, but the total number of people were less this year than last year.
Yet,
so the room numbers look greater than they than the actual people who stayed.
And then, of course, the TOT is up, and the only thing you can contribute to, I guess, would be
increase
a higher...
Increase in room rate would be the answer. So it looks to me as a fast analysis, if I'm correct, that although the number of rooms, actual rooms, was down, however, the revenue was up because of the... So the people are decreasing, but the rates are increasing.
I wonder if that 961 could be a transposition of 916. That would suddenly solve a problem with the Anderson Inn.
That would be the number for the Anderson Inn, if
that's all that is. But that's yes, worth taking a look at. Well, this brings up, and we will, I guess, get to that. Is if the numbers are staying flat in terms of people, and then you're depending on an increased room rate to make up the difference.
The numbers are going down.
Well, the numbers are going down, and it's the room rate that's keeping the TOT alive. Then that means the number of overnight stays need to become the... And I think we can get to this later, follow up on the item we discussed last month about a new campaign that might look at targeting...
...wise and coming into town with their own house on their back. But we could look at... How many spaces do we have available? And maybe that's another outreach area. Encourage people to come in for that. And then also for motels at that time of year, offer really good family rates, you know, to make it worthwhile for people to come in with their kids and have the beds made for them.
We've definitely seen an increase in the trailers and people coming. You know, a lot of times when people come, like for the kite show, they in the past would stay in the hotels. Well, now we're seeing them coming in RVs because we'll have, you know, you'll have some couples that will stay at the hotel, but their friends are down at the RV park. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a little bit of an increase in that. And I think it does come to budgeting. I was reading an article recently about people are still taking their trips. Mm-hmm. They're shortening their trips and they're going closer to home, but they're still wanting to vacation. So I think you've hit something too. We need to go a little bit within our county as well as maybe just outside Monterey, Santa Barbara, you know, as well, and get some of those people to come here because it's not quite as far as a drive of maybe going to San Francisco.
What was that phrase I heard just the other day? What do they call them? Staycations. It's sort of the stay at home but have a vacation mm-hmm. nearby. I think that was the phrase, staycations.
Staycation.
I saw that in some, or maybe it was one of the people I must have interviewed in Texas who used that phrase who was in the ecotourism business. But yes, the staycation. In your own backyard, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's especially true for, you know, I don't know about the reality of, you know, somebody from Paso Robles coming to stay or from Santa Maria just because it's so close. You know, you could get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and be here at 7:45, spend the entire day and drive home. But I think for Santa Barbara, something like, you know, that area, certainly, and we already are targeting, you know, those particular areas. Oxnard, Ventura has always been a good area. I just spent some time with my family down in Santa Barbara, and when I put my address down as Pismo Beach, you know, they said, well, that's their favorite place. And, you know, then that's also true for Morro Bay because people tend to want to go to the other beach communities. So I think that we find that we could probably pull people out of Santa Barbara. People that weren't going to go down to Newport because of the cost, you know, would might come up north.
Or, as I say, the San Jose Silicon Valley types, which I don't know if we've historically done much in the San Jose.
We have in the past, but again, you know, with the limited budget that we have, that was an area, Northern California was an area that we, when we had $200,000 to spend. We were able to go up there, but we do run it, and we hit the Bay Area with Northern California edition of Sunset. So we are in that. But what we lost when we ended up spending less money was our cable efforts up in the Bay Area, because we used to run television. And we would see the numbers change. We would see the responses coming from Northern California when we run those campaigns.
So historical evidence would show that outreach to Northern California works. Well, this may be something that when we get around to forming a budget committee, mm-hmm. this is brought before the city, that this has been some place that we have. How many years has it been since we've had that level of
since
outreach?
The budget was reduced, which I guess has been, what, about 3 years?
3 years, yeah. Yeah. All right, well, I'll make a note of getting to that.
Okay.
Any other budget-related items? In that case, we move now to the traditional advertising
okay.
report.
Before I start my report, I want to say Mr. Candela's got a fantastic tie on. I wondered if he got that on his trip.
No.
A copy to KSBY and KCOY and let them know about it as well. And we'll follow up with them on PR, and we'll do the local PR that we've been doing on all the events. And I think Peter did say that since we've been doing the PR and kind of highlighting the events and trying to incorporate those in the ads as well as press releases, we've seen some better attendance. And I think that we'll continue to see that. We'll do the same thing as the car show approaches. I think I already covered the YouTube campaign. That's sort of evolving. I'm working with AGP Video on that to get that processed. I think by next meeting I should be able to show you some of those cuts, working with Bob and Nancy. Talked about the website. Bill gave me a copy of the coupon guide. I don't think all of you guys have seen that. That's out now, out on the streets. The radio copy, just for your reference, and it sounds like it's probably evolving as we speak, but Peter sent me what the existing copy was, and I went ahead and rewrote it and sent it over to him, so we have some nice fresh copy, and then when we get to the final version, I'm happy to have the guy that did the audio for our DVD, just to sort of have that nice tie-in. He could go ahead and cut that for us, and so we'd have a professional announcer do that. The I mentioned about the budget. We're coming kind of to the close of this year, so what I'll do is when I have the final numbers, we'll come back to the committee in May, and we can decide if there's some contingency money, or perhaps we can decide some today if we want to do any fulfillment. Let's see. I think that's pretty much all I had to report. I'm sorry, the website. We had a great effort, great response from March 19th through April 16th on the website. To give you a perspective, January 1st through April 16th, we had total user sessions of 68,000, total page views of 297,000. We had, as a total from January through April, we had 118 people sign up for the newsletter. So we now have a total of 5,623 members that are on the newsletter database. To give you an idea of what happened between March 19th and April 16th, and this is also when the bulk of our ads have really been hitting, for spring anyway, total user sessions was 32,814. Now compare that to from January through April, that's almost half of what we have for the whole year to date came between March 19th and April 16th. We had total page views of 144,716. Again, for the whole year, we had almost 298,000. So again, that's almost half. We had 31 people sign up for the newsletter. And we also had an average page view of 4 minutes and 46 seconds. And average length of time on the site is over 10 minutes, which is really, really strong. That's way above industry standards. And so I think that we've had a really good showing, which is hopefully a good sign of people who are wanting to come. And as a part of that, we can also determine how many people, where they went, what they looked at. The top search was the accommodations. And we had almost 18,000 visits to the accommodations page. So obviously people are getting ready, planning their vacations. And just in Morro Bay was 13%. Somebody that would misspell Morro Bay, M-O-R-R-O-W, was actually 2%. So you can see that we've. I think this is encouraging. I know it's going to be challenging. I mean, there's nothing out of the ordinary that what you hear on the news is going to be a challenge. Probably a challenging summer, but I know that Morro Bay and the Central Coast in general tends to benefit sometimes from these economic downturns because the people that normally were going to go to Hawaii or perhaps they were going to go to Mexico or go someplace farther away, they come here. And I think that this idea of this localized campaign would be a good idea to discuss in the budget subcommittee. I think that there will be an opportunity. I think with these gas prices being what they are, people might stay closer to home. I know that in the past we've discussed having, and this would have to be something probably working with the Visitor Center and the Chamber, some sort of gas allowance. The only challenge behind those is just what says we're a destination and not one property. It's hard to figure out how we would pull that off as a city. But it may be something to think about because I think our competitors are certainly going to consider that. And you know, it might be just as for the hoteliers getting together and trying to come up with some sort of a voucher or something. You know, we'll pay your one tank of gas to come to Morro Bay. Those things work pretty well, and I think that people would feel a little bit more likely to come if they knew that was going to take place. I know the county had done that at one time, and I think we benefited from that certainly, but it's something to think about.
I noticed that on Main Street, the businesses on Main Street did collectively, I think it was actually through the Merchants Association, put out an opportunity to win, I'm not sure what it is, I think it was $50 in gas receipts to come into our area. So they just fill out and stick it in this little box, and then they pull it out at every month, and then that person won. But we can certainly look at a larger scale and come up with something. I agree. I think it's our neighboring cities will be doing something like that as well. And I like being innovative. I like being ahead of the curve, so to speak. So yeah, we should look at that.
I know the VCB had done that, I think, a year or two ago, and right. It was great. We still have some coupons out there that's, you know, say $10, you know, bring us your gas coupon and we'll give you $10 off your room or whatever. I think that there's hotels here. I know we would love to partner up with the Chamber and do something as a big co-op ad. I think you could get a lot of hotels to participate.
You know, I think that's a great idea, Michelle. The value added, not so much out of pocket per se, but
right.
Value added and incentives for people to come into our city and bring in that $30 or $40 gas receipt.
One way we could do it that would be fairly inexpensive, and again, we'd have a little bit of contingency money, so maybe that would be where we could put this program for, because I think it's going to be midweek, even a little bit of a struggle in the summer. Again, it's a lot of that's going to depend upon, we just pray that it's 140 in the valley all summer long. But if it's mild, you know, it's going to be different. There are two hotels. I mean, you want to have it look like that everybody's behind it. The other thing that I was going to mention is, and I think, again, this could be maybe discussed in the budget subcommittee, is a program that I've suggested over the years, and I know we've talked about it somewhat recently, but in Hawaii they have a Kama Aina rate. And Kama Aina basically means local. And I don't see why we couldn't even call it Kama Aina. And if we could ever get this off the ground, and it would be a little difficult in getting it started, but once it's started and everybody just got used to it, basically what it would be is you're a Kama Aina if you live, you know, in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. And they show their driver's license, and it shows that they're a local resident. They get a series of discounts. And in Hawaii, it's really substantial. I mean, you get like maybe 20% off your rental car, and almost everybody in the whole state gives you a Kama Aina rate. In fact, a lot of people, the first thing they do when they move to Hawaii, because I lived in Hawaii for 3 years, you go out and get a Hawaiian driver's license so you can get the Kama Aina rate.
I noticed playing golf in Santa Barbara County, if you were in, they called it the Tri-County, and you showed your driver's license, I mean, you got a substantial, it's the locals' deal, and
it really did bring in a lot of folks. Just it brought us in.
And it could be Tri-County. I mean, that might not be, you know, we might want to expand it to that because, I mean, the discounts have to be substantial enough to where it's attractive, but you don't have to give away the store either. It's just that people feel like they're going to get some sort of break. And it would be a really big program. I mean, probably even at the council level, they'd embrace it, and we'd have, you know, posters, and, you know, we would become, you know, if you're a Kama'aina, you know, and you come to Morro Bay, you get treated great.
We do have some of the local shops that I've been dealing with, the Kite Festival, and some of the restaurants that do that, and they do it usually in off-season, but the idea is already out there, and they're willing to do that, so you
And actually,
find
you know,
that.
We could, that's a good point, you know, maybe we would, it would be an off, you know, from, it would not include summer, but it would include the off-season.
Good idea. You get city backed and do a big promo, and that's the way to go, especially with gas prices.
Well, I know David's always talking about it, and I think it's a good thought that, you know, how we get PR, you know,
that's
how we become something.
Read in my mind that announcing that becomes the story in the papers.
That.
I knew that was, you knew that's exactly where I was going next, is that announcing it. I just didn't want to say it out loud for the people who are watching in Pismo. But,
They don't get us here there.
Good, okay. And they don't get us, do they? And that's why I was thinking that I was already in my mind writing an op-ed for either the Tribune or the New Times saying that, hey, in a recessionary, like a tied in with economics, you'd go with the macro issue first, we're facing X here in the Central Coast, and then narrow it down to how do we deal with that this summer, both from the vending side and the vacationing side. The idea is to take it is discover your better nature, .. right in our own backyard. And we are San Luis's natural backyard. And write that either as an op-ed or get it into the Sunday travel section, which would be more appropriate to have announcing this a program of some sort. And I was going to suggest that we bring this up at our next public relations subcommittee meeting for the month of May.
Well, the key is to get everybody to do it. That's
I think it's been done on a single level, but it's never been done, at least I know of, as a like citywide thing.
And you certainly could make people do it, but it would have to be where people felt that there was enough value, you know, in giving a discount that it would create more business.
Sure, and go into any store and it would be there. I think has some magnitude.
I've had just people say, oh, you're local, you get 10%. I didn't even realize they were doing it. They hadn't advertised it. I think they keep it kind of low key. But I think that it's out there. I mean, it's already they're doing, and it's just a matter of expanding it.
Well, and you think about it. I mean, if somebody is making a decision of where they're going to go, and they know they're going to get, you know, treated like a local, you know, there's a value to that as well. I mean, in the sense that they're going to get, you know, they might in harder times they might pick Morro Bay over somebody else because they know they're going to get a discount.
Peter, didn't the chamber have a club? You had a card that the members had.
We still have that. It is
locals got a discount.
Uh huh. It is member to member discount, and it's been growing every month. So, you know, it's
Couldn't
just something.
We expand that to
we
all.
Could, yeah, there's no reason why we can't do that. You know, we do have a pretty large representation of our businesses, you know, through the chamber. So, I mean, it would be kind of a logical start to see what the response is.
And, you know, it would also come from just a learning curve. I mean, when somebody goes in, just like you said, when somebody would say, oh, well, you live in Santa Barbara, you get a 10% discount, they're just like, going to walk away with, you know, this is something they didn't anticipate. And they're going to think pretty favorably about Morro Bay in the future as another time to come back.
Is it possible, and I don't know the timing of this, I see a new business item is to follow up on the Best of Morro Bay contest. Might it not be a good idea to introduce this concept at about the same time as the Best of Morro Bay concept, or would you want to milk
well, I think
them separately?
This, I mean, the challenge, I mean, ideas are easy. It's the implementation that's the key. So I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think about how, and Peter would be the key.
Sure.
Of helping us get it going, but you got to have it in place first before you announce it, before you do anything, because if the worst possible thing is you announce it and somebody goes, well, I'm a local, and they go, so?
Yeah.
Here's our rack rate.
Yeah. Well, and you're coming up against summer, too.
Right. So this may be something that you might want to think about for the fall.
Yeah, there's always a lag before we can start.
Right, but that's what, like you said, start it now, start implementing, you know, get everybody on board, so then that way when fall comes, boom, you're out and you're already ready to go.
January 1, you know, I mean, it's where we need it.
November, December, too. You know, you could hit it.
True.
You could do a big thing in October, and then your residuals are going to come. You know, I know we always do a big thing around the Christmas holidays. We offer, you know, anybody having a Christmas party, you go out and we give them a special rate, you know, so then that way they're not having to drink and drive a lot with parties. So I think you could hit it even before, and you could get, because you do have your locals.
I think starting it in the fall, I think we'd give enough time to plan it and do the appropriate PR. And it's like anything. This type of thing is a long process.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't be something that we try for a month and people come back and go, well, I didn't really see very many people, so I don't want to do it anymore. I mean, this could actually take a couple years. But it's like once it does, then you've really created something and you become unique. And then, of course, what will happen is everybody else will start.
For Mr. Sorgenfrey on that. All right, next item, Public Relations Subcommittee Report. The Public Relations Subcommittee did not meet this month, but I see we already have one item to discuss for next month, so pending any reorganization of the committees, which would come under unfinished business, whoever is on that committee, we will put that down for May, and that's when it's definitely a meeting we'll want to have with John, because this is going to be a local campaign. Website Committee, Drew?
We had a meeting this month.
Yes.
And everybody was present.
Yes.
and so we kicked around the web page and a lot of things. But we decided that I should bring up a few things. The home page, we felt that the car show should have been listed on the home page 4 or 5 weeks ago. You know, we have a picture of the kite festival, but there's nothing on the homepage about the car show. And we feel that there needs to be something set up, whether it's automatic, that 8 weeks ahead of time something appears, or somebody at the Chamber of Commerce contacts somebody so that advertising, because the car show is really only 3 weeks away. And we thought it should be on the homepage.
Well, I was just going to interject. It wouldn't be a bad idea to list all of the events citywide. And the way we handle it at the Chamber is we have timelines. And a timeline for we start a newspaper ad versus a radio ad versus, you know, website and all of those things. We actually lined it out. This is when we start 3 months ahead of time. And we put out our posters at least 6 weeks ahead of time and that type of thing. Maybe if we created a list a little more involved with that and we just hand it out and then it's just automatic.
Well, I think, if I may, I mean, really what it comes down to is that I certainly try to catch all the events and get them on. But if anybody knows an event's coming up, all I need to know is about it. And I'll put it on. I'll put it on whenever anybody tells me. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I need your help. Call me 3 weeks ago and tell me that the car show needs to be on, because
we thought that was part of the program, that you were going to be notified basically on a weekly basis by somebody at the Chamber of Commerce as to what was coming up. And so anyhow, that's just a suggestion that these things should be put on. And it's going to be difficult because some of the events we have three or four things coming up, and so you'll have multiple things listed, and some months there'll only be one thing listed. So, but it's kind of a, you know, but we would like to see some.
I mean, we had the tall ships up. That went away. We put the kite festival up. But you're right. I mean, in fact, to be honest with you, as I drove into town and I stopped to look at the motorcycle place, and I saw the car show poster, I wrote myself a note, make sure the car show gets on the website. But again, that's not to say that that's the best way to do it.
It's on the calendar. On the calendar, eventually click on the calendar, goes to the car show website. But we felt there ought to be something on the homepage at this particular time.
No, I would agree. Artwork gets sent to me.
I think we can do that.
I think the car show is a little bit different in that they do their own poster work and they do everything. So, you know, the car show and maybe even the bird festival, you know, there are some things that the chamber isn't that heavily involved in, but somehow the poster or whatever we're going to use needs to get to John.
Well, again, Bill, I think that's just we have a list of 29 events, and it's just here, Rick. These are the events. Let's look at our timeline, and let's make sure that John has what we have. It's just a matter. It's a great idea, and we should just stay on top of that. And I'll take responsibility.
Can't you just add web page to the timeline?
And it'll sure. It really is on. It's on our timeline already.
That'll alert Rick to call John.
Because we have the New Year's Eve party. It's actually going to go in July. So we're going to really try to do that, and we'll make a sincere effort to make that happen.
Another thing we would like to see is the weather put on the homepage. You know, the daily weather, and then the weekly. You know, you could click and expand it,
right,
and then get an extended.
So, like the Weather Channel. Link.
Yeah,
I think
you
all that needs, John, is just the temperature and the cloudy. You know.
Right. Well, you can. It's pretty easy to go ahead and link to like the Weather Channel, because then what you can do, you can get, you know, the daily, the 10-day. And I'll look into that as part of what we're doing for the recondition of the site.
And then we looked under the tab Our City, and we felt that there needs to be a link to the city's webpage. And I thought there used to be, but looking at it, there's no link to the city's webpage. But then in looking at the city's webpage, I noticed the city doesn't say anything about the schools. You know, I would think that they would want to link to the school district. But, I don't know. Because that's the one thing people ask about if they're going to move to town. Schools. Who do I call about the school?
Well, I know that there is a subcommittee within the city re-looking at our website. I don't know the content, but I can suggest this.
Yeah, well, maybe we should have another. I'm sure that the school district has a website. Although I'm not sure.
It's under San Luis Coastal Unified School
yeah.
District.
Yeah, so maybe we need to have a link to their school site, because I think that people that are interested in moving to Morro Bay are interested in schools. And then we started talking about the map, and we agreed that the map, the trolley map, needs to be put on the webpage and probably in our city section, although maybe, you know, but somewhere there. And we question the value of a parking map. Other than maybe on the trolley map, we should show parking at the Rock, Front Street, there at Pacific and Tidelands Park. To me, it doesn't make any difference. But I think that we need to have, and a map that can be printed off.
I was concerned about the parking map I saw, and I don't know where we're at with that, but it shows all this parking all down on the Embarcadero, and it is silly, don't we? I mean, there's really not parking. I mean, there's parking on the Embarcadero, but it's not a parking lot. And I just had seen what Bill had, so I don't know if that's exactly what's going up, but I would be concerned if that's what we're having, if we're encouraging people to park in that congested Embarcadero area that everybody complains about. It should just have parking at those ends, maybe at Rose's Land, or, you know, right there across from Rose's Landing. But the map I saw had parking all, it had like 10 spots right there all on the Embarcadero. It kind of concerned me.
Well, I thought the parking mat included part of like B of A's parking lot and the library, and I mean, didn't
it include? It was the whole picture of Morro Bay.
Right there. Right.
Yeah, it's got parking lots all over the Embarcadero.
Which?
That, to me, don't exist.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things I sent to you, John, months ago, was that the parking.
It shows parking at all of the cul-de-sacs at the end of each street and the Embarcadero, where there's half a dozen parking spaces.
Well, again, I mean, this is information that I've been getting from Public Works, so. It's garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, I think it just needs to be at least looked at, because I would not feel comfortable giving that to my guests and telling them to go park on the Embarcadero where there's really not any parking spots to park on.
We've also been informed that they're going to start
taking. No, I think those squares are the small spaces of lots in front of the restaurants that have them at a perpendicular.
But that's not off-street parking. That's on-street parking.
It's on-street parking. It's not.
No, and I thought that's what, when we talked about parking, it was off-street parking.
Yeah, we were just.
But anyhow, we discussed the fact that we need a map, more than one map. That the map we had. That map has got too many things on it. And whether we have two maps, three maps, I don't know that it makes any difference, but we need to have maps that people can use and read.
Yeah, I think that this, unfortunately, turned into a project that it wasn't what it started.
Right.
Because what happened was it got circulated throughout every department. And I'm not saying this in a negative thing. If you're that department, you want to have your stuff on the map. So then everybody put everything on the map, and it's sort of like when you have a really nice, clean piece of art, and somebody says, a little pink over there would be good, or maybe I'll put a little orange over here, and then by the time you're done, it's a mess.
To me, we need the trolley map, because the trolley starts running 15th of May or something like that. Sometime in May, the trolley. So we need a trolley map, and to me, the trolley map is something that needs to be put on in May.
That's right.
And taken off in October and not even have it there during the winter months. So to me, we need the trolley map first, and then other things can come later.
So, Bridget, would I get all the most recent information from Bruce? Is that who would know the trolley routes? And
maybe they've got a map already.
Actually, Janine Burlingame would probably be able to help you with the trolley stops.
Okay.
I did a recent survey for parking spots for one of our members.
And ticket. So it'd be nice to know if I need to tell them. Worry.
Well, on the Embarcadero, we have green there that, and that's where I believe they're going to be looking at. I don't know about the other, but certainly we need to know what they're rules and regs are down there and to inform people.
Well, what I would suggest is I'll go back and look at the most recent version that I have. I'll talk with Bruce about, the involvement of this and tell him kind of what the committee would like to do. And, before we put anything live or anything, we'll have somebody take a look at it. But it's important probably that we would maybe have a subcommittee here once we get around to it that just can look at it. I think the reason you want to have three different maps is because then you have three different parties that are responsible. So you have, if you're just looking at parking, then you just have the parking people look at it. And then the trolley people don't comment on the parking and vice versa. So there's got to be a way to do it. And, Trina talked about Ed earlier. This was really pretty much his last big hopeful project was to get this parking map done. And I'm going to make sure, best I can, to make sure it gets done. But the whole thing is it's got to be accurate. It's got to be clean and easy to understand. And the worst thing you want to do is tell somebody there's parking someplace, and they go there and they find out that they're going to get a ticket. That's not good.
Maybe Janine already has a trolley map worked up. Oh, no, we didn't have it last year. So, because I thought they said they were going to put maps in each one of the holders at each one of the trucks or trolley stops.
Yeah, I just remember that there was very, very limited resources and that that they weren't able to give them out or there wasn't really enough revenue to print them. But that's where we may be able to help as far as putting it on the website and have people print them themselves. But I will check with her, find out what the most current, where the current situation is.
So I don't know if Ed or Michelle have any more to add to the report.
I think you covered it.
Yeah, I think that's
everything.
That'd be
great. Yeah, any help you can give me would be great.
Good job.
If I can make a comment here, it's we've looked at the chamber. We've been doing some modifications. We've been talking to John and trying to get that. You can see we've added. This is when you click on the city, you can see that there's the trolley, and then there's our harbor walk, and a nice little picture there. And if you looked at the headings. Traveling south and traveling north, you see the colors. Before they were kind of faded in the background. Now we've punched them up a little bit, but it would be nice, I suppose, if we wanted to get a little deeper, we can
add a page for the trolley and then add a route map or something
like
that.
Well, you click on the picture of the trolley, and I would think it would bring up the route map. Well,
this was just added within the last couple of days.
I know in the past we've had trolley maps available, and it's very, very helpful as a hotelier to be able to hand that, because people come in, they park their car, and they want to walk. They don't want to get back in their car the entire weekend. And it's very helpful to have them. And that's something, as a hotel, we could just go print 50 of them and have them available. What's so nice about having it up on the web.
Maybe that's part of this summer incentive vacation in your backyard, is that we package a trolley pass with a hotel stay. So you can leave the car in the lot and you're in the moment. So let us say that we are going ahead. We need to, correct me if I'm wrong, Bridget, we need to fill the chair and the vice chair role. Is that all that has to be done? All right. Any nominations for chair of the committee for the year 2008?
I would nominate David again. He's doing a great job. I think he's led our committee in a good way. And I'd like to see him continue the good job he's doing into the next year. If he would accept.
I was the reason we waited for this meeting, Ed, because you were out of town last month, was I wanted to nominate you, but felt it wasn't fair to do when you were in the Netherlands. So, what's the procedure for this?
Ask for more nominations.
I guess I was right. You put a bunch of nominations.
Don't we need seconds first?
Well, I would like to nominate Ed Krovitz.
I've already nominated you, so we need a second on that.
Okay.
I'd like to second.
Well, that was not a motion. Was that a motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I did not take that as a motion.
Yeah.
So, motion one is from Krovitz.
Then it was seconded by Bill Stafford.
Okay.
And I wanted to make a motion. Discussion.
Or do you need to have a vote on that?
Oh, it's one motion at it?
Yeah.
How?
Well, you have to have a nomination, and you have to...
Not necessarily.
Well, then he has to either accept...
It's a motion to nominate is all it is. It's not a motion to nominate the candidate.
Oh, okay.
On the table is then the motion for the nomination to the role of me? Oh.
Yes.
All right. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
It looked like it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I saw.
Unanimous.
Hang on. It was a motion to nominate me by Ed, seconded by Bill, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people voted aye. I did see her vote aye, yes.
Okay. So that's 5-1.
All right, so that's a motion to nominate.
Okay.
Nominate.
Any more nominations?
Now, I would like to nominate Ed Krovitz, and I waited a month for him to be here to do this because I do believe that, and I thank him kindly for his comments, but in terms of ongoing continuity, in the absence this year, which would be the first year that in full that we'd be without Ed Biagini, I do believe that Ed Krovitz brings the years of, as we heard Trina say earlier, history. I only go back 3 years with this committee, and there's stuff that, and we know that John goes back a long way too, that predates my tenure here, and I think that having that history present and forefront is an important asset, which I don't bring, and for those reasons, I would like to nominate Ed Krovitz as chair for the upcoming year.
I'll second that.
Well, I thank you very much for the kind words, David. I do know that you have...
Ed, yes, a motion to nominate Ed, seconded by Heather. So the next step is to take a vote on passing the motion to place this nomination, and then I guess we would vote on the nominations is how it would work. So...
No.
No, it's...
Why don't we make it simple?
Just vote.
Make David...
Chair.
Chair.
And
the vice chair.
Vice chair.
And
all right. Bill Stafford has put a motion forward to make David Weissman the chair and Ed Krovitz the vice chair for the coming year.
I would second that motion.
But
Okay. We have, right. So to be procedurally correct, we have a motion that nominates Ed.
Declined the nomination.
Yeah.
David, you would need to...
Withdraw his motion.
Withdraw my motion.
Exactly.
And Susan would have to withdraw her second.
Therefore, I will... Okay, fine. I will withdraw the motion. She withdraws the second. So that leaves Ed's remaining original motion.
So then we will have a motion of...
Bill Stafford's, which was to...
Yeah, that's
Bill Stafford.
That's
a good...
No, I made the motion.
Well, no, Bill...
No, now you're getting the chairman.
Ed Grovitz has
vice chair.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Really.
That's a good one.
Okay.
It's a good thing we have Bridget here.
Believe me.
And a second to Bill Stafford's nomination.
Second.
Came from Susan.
That's okay. Good. And a vote.
Okay, so to vote on the motion, which would make myself the...
No, you're already... nominated.
Oh, I gotcha.
I'm going to make it good.
So this
vote
makes...
on the two candidates.
Just voting on the two candidates. Okay, all in favor of the nominatory, or the nominal, I should say, slate as it is, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I feel like the the one from Laurel and Hardy. Who was the one who always felt like...
No, I'm going to say...
Just didn't know what was... It was happening.
Ed nominated David as chairman. They all voted, and
Bill nominated
Ed as
the vice chair. And they all voted,
and,
here we are.
I think it flowed very well.
All right. Well, then I got to say then, if we're starting a new regime here, with all due respect to Ed, I suppose that we are now, and it's just the nature of Morbay. We have switched from Hawaiian print to flannel. And the new official look is plaid flannel from Morro Bay. It's a little lumberjacky, and maybe doesn't suggest tropical, but it's, we'll let people know it's also like long sleeve weather here in Morro Bay. So there you go. The new look is plaid. Well, thank you all then. Having entered that, we do need now, we have our website subcommittee. We need to form a budget subcommittee, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because
you need, but you have your item of city attorney first.
But under unfinished business, it says chair committee reorganization. Aren't those committees as well? I don't know if that would.
No, that was just a selection of chairs.
Oh,
okay. Business.
See, I really don't know how to do this, but thank you. So, okay, then we have move on to new business. A report from the city attorney. Yeah, we'd mentioned.
And I can tell him what we have in mind. I think I have a pretty clear understanding. We want a trademark or a copyright, whichever is the most two. There's two ways
and
of doing it.
And there's also service mark now, apparently. That's the SM, which is a lesser way, I guess, of doing this.
But I can talk to him about, you know, kind of what the, you know, what. I think the easiest thing to do with any attorney, and my dad's a lawyer, so I grew up like this, is just tell them what your goal is, and then they tell you what you need to do. And that's okay. What I think we just want to protect the slogan, discover your better nature. We could probably give him three or four typefaces, especially this one we've been using. You trademark that. Typefaces are a little harder to trademark, but it's the slogan that we're trying to preserve.
Yes.
And I think that's pretty cut and dry. And then, you know, tell him what the goal is, and then he'd tell us what you have to do that. So that.
Yeah, that's it. And give us an approximate time frame on what that would
cost.
Be to, and a cost to do in terms of the filing and the papers. And as I said, I know there's trademark, and then I know the other one is like a SM, service mark. I know a lot of airlines I've noticed have their slogans. Oh, I saw one recently. It was like something that there's something special in the air, and it was SM, service mark, which I don't know what that means, if that's a cheaper way of doing it, but it's some form of protection. We can't let Costa Rica steal our slogan. All right, so that we will look forward to then next month. John will follow up. And if you'd like to CC me on whatever written thing you sent him, just so I can put it in my file to have that as well.
I'm probably just going to call him, but okay. I can give you a
report
of what he
says.
Well, if he
asks you as a lawyer to put it in writing. Moving on then, discussion of the Best of Morro Bay contest. Now, that was something I believe at the subsequent or previous meeting, Heather had said she would be the contact with Brett Collier, who was the Bay News. Have you, Susan, or anyone heard anything otherwise?
Just for the record, I think you skipped the budget subcommittee.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was it.
That's okay. I can tell you real quick. I have a meeting with Brett tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Oh, well, in that case, okay. Do you need me there, or you guys got that all worked out?
If you want to come, that's great.
Where were you meeting?
His office.
All right. Let me talk to you after the meeting about that. Sorry. I told you it's this. Noah, who did I hear complaining about bifocals just yesterday? It's I guess, which is, and I got three gray hairs I noticed here the other day. This, I tell you, the chairmanship is driving me old. Discussion of the formation of the budget subcommittee, because we are coming to that time of year, I guess. Bridget, what is the city council's consideration of the, when is the meeting held that begins the process where they start to get the feedback on the budget? Do you know? It's in even which, 4 weeks away, 6 weeks away?
There is a budget.
This was your workshop.
That I think what I'll make a note is to email all of you either the calendar itself or let you know when the budget is going to, the first budget meeting will be held.
Okay. But we will have a committee in place, hopefully, before that time.
What we did last year, I remember, I was on the committee, and I'll be happy to do it again this year. John was Ed at the time. And a couple of the members of this committee, we met and we discussed. You had I think we took the last year's figures, and what John did was broke down by category the expenditures that we proposed to do in various media, whatever we were going to spend, and break the categories down. And then
the committee should be formed for that purpose later on. But also, again, if you know, if we're going to go to the council and request additional funds. Then we got to have a strategy for that, and that would be where that I think
and
that
we need to have a plan, a marketing and a media plan, in order to ask for dollars. Yeah.
Well, that's true. I mean, you'd want to, the question would come: well, where is it going to go? Right. My thought would be, and this could certainly be discussed at the budget subcommittee level, but is that you know I think the council is going to want to know. You know, where these additional funds would go and what's the purpose of that and what's the return on the investment. And we did that very clearly when we did the when we went into the San Fernando Valley. And I think we've been able to attribute the, you know, that we had a rise in TOT and related back to that. And that's all, certainly could also be, as you talked about, where you see occupancy flat but rate go up. And that's all about attracting a visitor that can come and spend more money.
The tracking record of the advertising we've done this year in terms of fulfillment, in terms of return on investments, in terms of dollars, and responses to the ads we've done, I think having a report on that would also be very effective in showing the terms that we spent this many dollars, we placed the ads in these publications, this was the return we've got. And the statistics that the Visitor Center shows in fulfillment and so forth gives us a dramatic, definite return on the money we're spending, so we can show definitely what we're getting in return.
I think the two main benchmarks that I'd recommend you use would be TOT, because it's increased, and the website. Because, again, I think it's deceiving when we look at how many packets we actually sent versus how many people went to the website. I mean, we could right now, just with these last website statistics that I presented today, come up with a pretty good reason of why we've got great momentum going. We need to continue that.
And have we not increased funding to the website versus 2 years ago?
Yes.
As well. So, I mean, there's clearly a place where if we invest the money in the website,
Well, but I think that I would be cautious, because there was the feeling that, well, the website's doing so great, then why don't we just put all the money in the website? I mean, we have a substantial budget for website development now. I mean, I don't think that's where you need to ask for an increase. It's all about coming to the website, getting people to go to the website. And that was, I think, the misunderstanding was, well, the website's doing so good, well, why don't we just have the website? Well, the website's not going to do any good if you don't have these 56% of the people coming to the website because they saw an ad and typed in moralbay.org.
That's why I think you need both. You need the statistics of what the advertising and the media is pulling in the print, as well as the results that are showing up on the website. And they are. They're synergistic, and we need both of them.
Well, then I would also like to go back, and I'd like to investigate what the outreach might have been back in the days when we did Northern California, because it seems to predate my arrival here by a year or so. and see if maybe, as we went Orange and San Fernando as an outreach last time, maybe continue that. And now say, look, every time we add an outreach area, if we can get a pattern going, we see a bump. And knowing it's going to be a tough competitive summer, maybe look to put that back into the mix as a potential.
Well, again, I mean, the budget you're asking for is for the fall. It's not going to be for the summer unless you want to go and ask for a pretty good year as far as the economy was concerned. I think another factor is that we need to look at the fact that San Luis Obispo very likely is going to have $1 million to spend in about 6 months. That's going to dwarf our $125,000. Pismo Beach already spends $500,000. Paso Robles is very likely, maybe less as sure, because City Council just passed the BID for San Luis Obispo. But Paso Robles, from everything I know, and I know Frank Meacham and I know Jim App, they're going to pass their BID. Well, there's another $1 million that they're going to have to spend. And so we have everybody around us going to spend $1 million. Now, the county BID is one that Morro Bay still embraces, one of the few cities that's still a part of that. Maybe that'll happen. You know, we won't know till September. And again,
postponed to September.
That is going to be for certainly promotion of Morro Bay, but it's promotion of Central Coast. And all those cities not participating aren't going to be included in that, but they're all going to have their own BIDs. From my standpoint, as your consultant and as a businessman, I look at what my competition does. And there has to be some reality, too, because we're not going to be able to spend $1 million, but we also have to look at what our competitors are going to spend. And if you look at, and I just had this discussion a couple of days ago, nothing against Dave Garth, who's the president of the chamber, because he's looking out. He's got one job, and that's to look out as you look out for Morro Bay. He looks out for San Luis Obispo. But he made it very clear that it's going to be tough competition, and we're going after all those visitors that go to the other places. So what's happened is, it's unfortunate. The BID, for whatever reasons things went the way they did, originally it started that we were all going to cooperate and work together. Well, now what's been created is we're all going to work against each other. And that's the reality. And Morro Bay, has to be aggressive as best they can because the funds are limited, but they have to stay aggressive because everybody else is going to be aggressive. And believe me, when you have $1 million as opposed to $100,000, you run in other markets, you run full page ads, you do a lot more outreach.
John, is there any advantage to Morro Bay considering its own BID?
I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah. It was discussed at a Monday night City Council meeting. Unfortunately, I was home ill, so I don't know what transpired, but it will be in the minutes.
Okay. Well, I would say that if the county doesn't do it for whatever reason, then the situation will be as I explained. You know, it's going to be all these other cities. And Pismo Beach has not decided on having a BID, but I will tell you that there's discussions. Because they're looking at the same thing. They're saying, well, now our competitors are all going to be, you know, even though Pismo Beach has $6 million a year in TOT, and you can imagine if they took 2%, well, they would have about almost $1.5 million to spend in addition to their five. They'd have $2 million. So it's something that I don't want to be disloyal to the county effort, but the county effort is changing. You know, and it's.
No, I think that the county is really trying to be our best friends right now here in Morro Bay and trying to keep Morro Bay to not go on their own. And I think, like you're saying, there's a loyalty there. And, you know, it's changing every day. I know the hotelers, we really wished it could have went countywide. And I think that would have benefited everybody. But now we're in this big competitive thing. And it's going to be curious to see how it all plays out. Because as a hoteler, we keep having to change our stance and what is going on. And right now we're just kind of sitting back and watching everything fall. But it's really changed the dynamics of what it originally intended to do. Mm-hmm. And it's disappointing to see communities now are all going to be fighting against each other. And it's going to be tough.
I'm sorry. There were two, and you were at that meeting, and there were two significant things that I've heard that have changed. One is that originally I think, probably to bring these people to the table. If you say, if you were a hotelier and you're in Pismo Beach and your city does not participate in the county BID, then you're out.
Right.
You're no longer a CVB member.
But that's changed.
Right. And that was very controversial, and that really made a lot of people upset. And so that has been changed now, so that if there's somebody in Pismo Beach and they're a hotelier and they're a member of the county CVB or BCB, then they still remain a member. The other thing that's changed is that it's not necessarily going to be the CVB that's going to do the marketing.
Right.
It could be a separate entity that would do that. And that's still up for discussion. But that's another pretty much big dynamic change that's take place.
CVB is what you're looking for on the computer. V as in Victor, V as in Boy.
And if I might, I did find out that the first budget meeting before the city council is May 8th.
May 8th.
When would be the time that the promotions committee would address the council about a budget request? Would that be at that?
I would imagine at public comment.
At that meeting, you think?
Right.
So it sounds like that what I would urge is that we have a budget subcommittee meeting next week or the week after to plan a strategy.
I remember going to this meeting. I somehow have a flashback to this meeting last year. I remember you were there and I was there and we all had our buttons on, and I seem to remember that meeting from last year. That's where we asked for the extra increase for that extra outreach program, which I guess we could come back this year and report as being a success.
I think that budget subcommittee would be an appropriate place for me to serve.
And that was, and we're on that agenda item, aren't we? We're still on a formation of the budget subcommittee.
Right.
Well, then let me nominate Joyce to be on the budget.
You don't have to formally nominate.
Oh, because it's an ad hoc committee. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, we know John belongs on that committee, as he has in the past. So we have John, we have Joyce, and Ed, you were there. So for continuity's sake, should we make it John, Ed, and Joyce? And then is the chair
well,
have to sit on?
Well, I think
on?
You need to decide who's going to be, because in the past it was Ed Biagini, so you need to probably collectively decide either it's one or two, who's going to address the council, because whoever's going to address the council has to be part of it.
Let us communicate by email instead.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best.
Because what I'm also thinking is if John's going to come all the way to Morro Bay for that, then since we also want to go ahead with the summer campaign possible idea for the local, we get, so you don't waste trips from San Luis, we have both a PR subcommittee meeting and a budget subcommittee meeting if we can, possibly as close together as possible, so John only has to make one trip from San Luis Obispo.
That's fine. I mean, I don't mind coming anytime.
But okay.
The other question that I, just as a suggestion, you might want to get a feel from the entire committee how you feel about what we should ask for. So that gives direction to the budget subcommittee on what kind of strategy to plan. I'd get a consensus, you know, is do you want the status quo? I will tell you that it's, I believe they gave us an extra, was it extra 20,000 from what we had? One thing to certainly mention is that, you know, a cost of living increase, because we always have increases in rates. But that's really something that we need to discuss. But how I would suggest proposing it, as I just mentioned, is talk about the competition and what we're going to be faced with from a spending level. And then also back that off to the realities of what we can ask for.
And I think something, too, certainly an increase in our budget would be important, but also that as a city, tourism has become Morro Bay's, I think, main one and only real source of revenue. And if we want to keep going as a city where they're talking about budget cuts, we need to get people to keep coming in here and increase that revenue. Morro Bay is tourism now. There's nothing really, I mean, the little tiny fishing industry thing going on here, but so I think to point out to them, you know, we're their servants, but we're also hopefully bringing home the bacon for them to keep all their departments going. So.
Can we show with every dollar that we spend in marketing by way of the TOT tax or other revenues that there is a return of X percentage on the dollar they spend? If we could mathematically show them that for every promotion dollar spent, that dollar plus X dollars returns to Morro Bay. So it's not like other committees that are spending money with no return. Every dollar they spend is an investment which gets a return back to the city. And if we could show them that mathematically, then maybe we could increase our budget.
Yeah, I think there's a mindset that, and I think this council, with respect to them, overall sees this as certainly good benefits to the public because they serve the public. For the public to be aware that we're the one entity that produces revenue. Right. And that it's not an expense, it's an investment. And that's something, again, goes along with part of the whole presentation is that, you know, we need to spend money to make money. And then the justification, when you look at the percentage of the amount of money we spend relative to the TOT and how much the TOT does goes into the general fund, I think that's a way mathematically, yeah. You know, the clearest way
every
to show
business,
it.
Every business person in town understands that you need to expend money to make money, and I think we need to translate that to the business acumen of the people who run our city so they have the same mental attitude. And then
1% of 6 million, you know, is a lot more significant than 1% of
2 million.
Could I ask a question? Our budget is actually broken down into three parts. And when you go to the city, are we going just for the promotions and advertising part, or are we asking for a lump sum, or what? How does that work? Because we've got visitor center and then the website. So
how it's worked in the past that I can recall, and sometimes it's been almost a little competitive in the sense that the visitor center at one point in time prior to Peter asked for money. The same time that the promotions committee was asking for money and did their justification for it. I think that, you know, having Joyce involved and, you know, Peter, you may even want to be involved as well, just because it is a joint effort and you need to see, you know, what your budget is and what you need. But the council will look at the whole thing. And in the past, you know, they had looked at the visitor center as well, because of course that's the whole fulfillment. So it's the whole budget. But I think that what I would be involved in and the rationale that I'd be helping you create would be for media dollars, exposure.
Which is the draw that then you don't get fulfillment unless people are asking for something. I mean, in a sense, so one leads the other.
Well, public relations, website.
That would be included in
That's it. The media budget, yeah. Basically, it's John's page, essentially, that we're talking about.
But I think with the council, again, I think what we would need to present to them is, you know, obviously, it's like the old adage of a marketing plan. You know, Ed will know this. You know, where have we been? Where are we now? Where we want to be? You know, that's really kind of the picture that we would give them very briefly, but where are we now is and where are we going to be is basically that whole competitive study too, to say that, you know, there's a big dynamic out there that's going to be changing, and we need to address it the best way we can because our competitors are going to outspend us 5-1, and so that's why we respectfully, even though we know that times are tough, we're going to ask for, you know, a modest increase, and we need to determine what that's going to be too.
One thing I want to point out, too, which is kind of a little off subject, is there are more rooms being added to the county as well. So we are now competing with other cities adding more rooms. So that is going to have an effect on Morro Bay as well, which is something the county has been addressing, just to point that out.
So I guess this is all the discussion for the budget subcommittee meeting, which will be held clearly in advance of this May 8th event. All right. Well, we have it. We have a budget subcommittee. We will pick a time, and we will meet with John and go over these ideas. If not, moving on to item C, which was the best of which we have a meeting with Susan. We'll meet with Brett and can report back to us. Anything that needs to be reported, you could probably send out as an email the minutes of that, if you will. And then we move on to item D, discussion of inventory and fulfillment of the visitor guide. Do we have from Peter's statistics?
Well, I would think that we have one more trade show, and that may wipe it.
The print copy or both?
Well, we did have a number of DVDs, but there certainly wasn't enough to hand out to every. They were really primarily given out to the media people, and this magazine, if you will, it's just larger than a brochure, was the main focus. But in addition to this, because they were asking for specific information. We have the visitor center guide, which is a breakdown of hotels and restaurants and retail stores, and I mean just a breakdown of everything that's in Morro Bay, and that seems to be generating a lot of interest because it gives you specifics. This really doesn't have a lot of stats. It has some great pictures in it, but as far as benefit goes to the visitor, they really want to know what's available.
And what's your inventory in stock on that?
We print them in-house. Okay. So it's just an ongoing thing.
So you say we're about out of
the printed materials.
The destination guide.
And this second rack card, which is basically a smaller version, I guess, seems to really, if you look at the larger magazine versus this, people really wanted the smaller version and not the larger one because it gives a great summary. Bill, do you have a comment about that? Is that?
Well, the reason why I brought this up was it's budget time, and I think that I don't have any idea what that book cost us 5 years ago when it came out, but it's probably doubled now. And so, you know, in the same way with the rack cards, we're about out of the rack cards. So it's, you know, we need to make some decisions as to what we're going to do. Are we going to continue to have the catalog and how are we going to, or the book, how are we going to handle that? And then the rack cards too. And I brought it up simply because it's budget time. There's another thing that we need to ask the city for, because I don't see anywhere in our budget where we could take out $15,000 or $20,000 or whatever that book costs. And I would imagine it would be in that category if you're going to buy them in any quantity.
If I may, so, I could give you a little history of how this all evolved, because the large destination guide, the big one, was going to be predominantly used for press purposes. And also for fulfillment, if we had, you know, a large group or something like that, the rack card was really going to be utilized more at the trade shows. So for a mass bit of information and also for fulfillment. That's one reason why it's the size of an envelope, so it could be mailed. And the reason that we've been starting to give them out at the trade shows is because we had an abundance of them, and we wanted to, you know, utilize them before the material became too dated. My recommendation would be probably I at least have one box that's still at my office. Should probably get some of those, another couple of boxes at least before we give them out at a trade show, because I can still use those for PR. And we got last year, we got a full story, our and fulfillment when an editor calls and wants information. I think that it'd be important for the chamber, because you get calls sometimes from editors as well. We also have the DVD, which is for that purpose too. So what we would do in our PR package, maybe it'd be helpful to bring a PR package for the benefit of the new members to see. I mean, we have a printed folder that we did. In that folder then went, which I gave to the chamber to take on their trip. But we have a folder, then we have the DVD, and we have the big brochure, and we have the rack art. So we have a full assembly. I would recommend that you don't right now, as far as putting in the budget to reprint the big one. I think you might want to put some money into the budget to redesign it if we decide that we want to continue with it, and then print the rack cards and print those in a very large quantity so you can take those to trade shows, because the more we print, the less it'll be per piece.
Also, I wonder, what is the cost difference in printing the large destination guide versus pressing the DVDs? You have any idea on
Well, it's far cheaper to copy the DVDs, but to be honest with you, the destination guide, irrespective of what Trina said, and it's true, I mean, that really served a purpose when it was done, but technology's changed now. I mean, you could actually put that online, that whole destination guide, and there's even a format or a software that will actually turn the pages. You just click on it, and the page turns, and you can read the whole thing right online. That would be a huge file, so I'm not recommending doing that. It's almost too big, but we could do, you know, something similar. But and basically what we would do, Bill, is we'd put that, unless you're going to run out, like, immediately, yeah. We would put the rack card as part of the budget. You know, that would be, because that's what we did. The one year where we did the destination guide, that was a budget item.
We were actually using these for fulfillment, the rack cards
for fulfillment.
Which are a lot less expensive to mail.
And it was always designed that way. I mean, it was never really designed that we were just going to. In fact, we were over cautious with Kim and said, no, don't just give these out, you know. And then we ended up probably not giving out any of them. And that's why we had so many left over. But the rack card's really the thing you ought to give out at trade shows. I mean,
could we print the rack cards out of some of the contingency funds left in the current budget?
Yeah, I can get some quotes, but I think, again, when you print those, and we should look at those, make sure that, you know, we love them, because if we print a huge quantity of them, we'll have them for a long time. But everything was designed to have a long shelf life. So I don't know if you have enough to last you through till the fall, I mean, then I would put it, reprinting them in this next year's budget.
So you can get us an estimate on the printer cost for something like this. That is a very nice current piece. All right, so do we need to make that an item of an agenda item for the next? Well, no, because by the next meeting, we agendize that as an item, the printing.
Well, I think the question is, do you have enough to...
We go through a case a month about in the office or in the visitor center, and so that's 160 in a case. These don't get picked up hardly at all, but we're going to use up a lot of these in fulfillment.
Well,
we probably have enough of these for the show and for the next couple fulfillments, and then we're going to be out of them.
Well, my recommendation My recommendation would be then I'll get you a printing quote and take money that we have left, some of the money, and print you more of the rack cards.
I really think that's a good idea.
Because you're going to get hit in another month with the fulfillment, because all the Sunset Magazine stuff, everything's been running. And we need to prepare so you have enough to send out the rack cards for fulfillment and going to the trade show. And then what I would recommend is we might want to back off on giving away the big destination guides, at least enough to where I still have a good supply to take me through another year of PR, so we don't have to reprint those, because that's very expensive to reprint those.
Yeah, just we could talk afterwards and get the number of cases that you need, and I'll pull them out and get them set aside for you.
Okay.
So would we have to make a motion to authorize Pete and John to, as necessary, to replace the rack cards, take money from the contingency fund of the current budget to ensure fulfillment through the remainder of this fiscal year? Is a motion to do that?
Well, I think that we can get those printed pretty quickly. I mean, we can make that decision at the next meeting.
Okay, so let's agendize
you can bring back the costs.
Yeah,
the budgeting and the printing.
And then you could I'd have a feel for what it's going to cost, and you could appropriate the money out of the contingency fund.
These are pretty up to date. I don't see anything on the rack card that is dated. The brochure, the large book, has pictures of the Tiger's Folly, and it has some things that we don't currently have. And there also, we could update them with the Harbor Walk pictures and things like that.
Hey, maybe by the time we're ready to print this, we can put TM next to our slogan.
Is it hard to change the text at all on the front?
No, it's just an added cost to do the redesign. But I can go, it'd be a lot easier to be able to call the printer and just reprint them.
Do it. Okay.
It seems like there's a big emphasis on wineries on that front paragraph, and I'd say something like locally owned businesses, fine wineries, microbreweries, you know, just sort of spread it out a little so you're attracting more than the wine crowd, which tends to sort of push people away from Morro Bay into the surrounding areas.
All right, so that's an agenda item for the next month that moves to discussion of new ideas. I think we've already actually had plenty of new ideas, but we're always welcome for any other new ideas. New ideas, slightly new ideas, vaguely older ideas. Susan.
Do we need to talk about this EBC proposal that came online?
I asked Heather about that when she called to tell me she couldn't be. And she said, on the other hand, she said on second consideration, it turned out not to be what she thought it was. So I can't officially kind of withdraw it on her behalf. But she now said it was not. Apparently the costs of participating in this study, as were explained to her originally, are much greater. And it's not something, she told me on the phone yesterday, that she thought was within the budget of what we could be and should be discussing. So on second consideration, she was not as enthusiastic about pursuing this.
There was some talk at the City Council, I think, on Monday about, I think the gentleman spoke at City Council, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So they have the information, which would end up there anyway.
Yeah, it turned out to be not $1,200 or $1,500 or $3,000 to participate, but like $8,000, which I said was a large, or $12,000. It'll be some large chunk of our entire budget. And
well, and again, I can give you the history. I mean, we did this a number of years ago, and while the information was of value, the people who come during the wintertime tend to be older and empty nesters that don't have children. They should go after that group. I mean, it's a lot of stuff we already know.
All
yeah,
right.
That'll be $1,500 research what I just gave you there.
Thanks. Send us a bill, won't you? I do know that I think also for May, and I'm not sure, I'd have to go back and check my internet file on this. It's either May or June that someone from the SLOC group, Allison Chan, the folks from with Cal Poly, are supposed to be coming and giving us an update on their Free For Us survey.
Yeah, I had written down that survey, the visit, we have heard no response from that.
We haven't either. It doesn't mean that we can't correspond with them.
But I do think, like I say, the SLOC survey, the one on how the whole interchange between a marine economy and attracting tourists, they, I think, were scheduled for May, so I will double-check on that. But I think we could make room for them and their presentation. And I would like to, I have, in my recent work when I was in Texas, had a chance to interview a woman named Ellen Temple. And Ellen Temple is the wife of Buddy Temple, who was the son of Arthur Temple. Don't forget the Temple. Temple Inland, which was the largest lumber operation in the South. Originally, they were known as Southern Pines Plantations, and it was the largest, sort of like the, well, who's the big one in California? Sort of like the Louisiana Pacific of the South, or the Weyerhaeuser, if you will. Anyway, they realized, it happens that her family was one of the environmentally and conservation-minded families, and they set aside millions of their acres and were the first to practice even management and not clear-cutting. Well, the others didn't, and they've now found themselves, and it is a parallel to the fishing industry, with no raw materials left to harvest as an extractive industry. And you have East Texas really, really struggling. It's depressed. I wouldn't say it's like the movie Deliverance, but that's kind of where it was filmed. And they're discussing what to do. And they are now working on creating a program they call the Piney Woods Experience, where they're going to attempt to make something out of what's left of these stumps in terms of what natural attributes do they have to sell down there. And she gave us a very nice 5-minute sort of chat on what their plans are and how they envision this as part of a broader planning process for the region and the cities. And so I'd like the chance to come and run that 5 minutes on a DVD next meeting. And listen, because they are hiring the same folks who did the Coastal Birding Trail to create this for them as a promotion, the Texas Coastal Birding Trail as a promotional thing. These, I think the fellow is quite the leader. He's the person who supposedly invented ecotourism. And, you know, if one is looking to do this, that his specialty, again, is taking places that have lost their industry and making tourism out of the industry that used to be there. He's also, as I've pointed out before, the person who took the rundown towns of West Virginia where there used to be forests and created them as forestry heritage sites. Come live in an old mill town. And they're very good. And I'm not saying that our fishing industry is gone. I'm not, you know, we still have fishermen. But how to create what we'll call, quote, living history out of the heritage of places. And you're looking at ways to differentiate Morro Bay from Pisgah.
A tour bus from the valley, you know, maybe during their hot period, and bring them in for a shopping spree and include a lunch. You don't have to, in an air-conditioned bus, you know, there's a fee, whatever the fee is going to be, and that's what we're trying to determine now. And then have them in different locations and coming into Morro Bay and stopping in Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street and letting them all exit from there, and then they'll have a coupon to pick up a lunch, and then they stay there 6 hours or 4 to 6 hours, and then they head back, and they go back from that point. So we're researching that. Number two, we're almost completed with a Central Coast wine tour, and it's made up of the wineries that are, we have one in Morro Bay, that's Erin Hill, and then there's Cayuca Cellars, and there's Harmony, and then there's Moonstone Cellars. And those are the four wineries that we are creating this tour. And included in the tour package, with the help of Michelle and some other folks, we put together a one-night, a two-night stay. We're going to issue out chamber bucks or coupons, if you will, that for a certain amount, maybe $20 or $25 towards lunch or dinner or both, and then an activity coupon for $15 or something like that. And so the total package, if you were to fill in a limousine, of course our local limousine, Elegant Image, have participated too, give us a good rate with that. So when it comes all down to it, you can have a tour for eight people, double occupancy, for about $120. And it's really a great deal, and have a chance to go all the way to Cambria and come to Harmony and then the Cayucas and end up in Morro Bay, do their wine tours, and then go to the hotel and restaurant and that type of thing. Now, we've finished the brochure itself. I'm going to go to legal, make sure that, you know, we say all the disclaimers properly. But that's kind of what we're looking at to really push as a chamber. I'm just throwing these ideas out here because I think they have some weight to it, and maybe the promotion can add some guidance with that too.
I think the staying part of the wine thing, I noticed the new Amtrak Vacations book, 2008-09, just came out, and I turned to the page where they have their Hearst Castle Central Coast thing, and they take people wine tasting on their planned trip, and they stay in Paso Robles. And I'm like, they, you know, if your next day's visit is the Hearst Castle, you really should be at one already, on one here before, not inland.
You know, there's no reason why we can't incorporate them, because it's an undiscovered asset at these wineries, and they have formed an allegiance between the four of them, and it's a shame that they really don't have the opportunity like Paso Robles does, or Etna Valley, and those, you know, those the other wineries out there. There's 217 wineries, by the way, and it's a huge amount. And we have four right there on the coast, and they're really not promoted, I think, properly. So, I mean, we've taken it on as a chamber to do just that. So we're hoping that that works.
Peter, I had one suggestion for you regarding the bringing a bus over from the valley.
Yes.
You might want to, and I can help you with this, you know, talk to one of the radio stations. Because what they could do is you could work out, you know, give them a small schedule, give them a little bit of cash to advertise it. And also what's nice about it, at the same time you're doing it, even those that don't go on the bus, they're hearing about how nice and cool and great Morro Bay is as an ad.
I think it's a great idea. We haven't leaped into the full scale other than checking out the buses and see what's actually going to cost us, because if it's going to cost us $100 per person, it's not going to work. But if it's $51 including lunch and a trip over here, yeah, you can't even travel gas-wise on that. So that's what we're looking at. That's a great idea, John.
I think the motor coach industry is something we need to touch. Yesterday at the VCB, this was touched on a lot, which is another future agenda. But Silverado Tours, I think, is under new management or ownership. Mm-hmm. And he seems very, very excited about motor coach being kind of the new thing to bring people over for days or weekends, and that they're now going to see an increase, and that might be something for us to tap into.
Well, if that's the case, then I would say, I mean, right, if so let there be something for my 4 years of tenure here that I came in wanting to make this darn train thing happen. And Silverado is one of Amtrak's contract carriers, and we've often said, and Amtrak has told me this is an ongoing commitment, if we can deliver the program where someone puts them on the bus at the train station and brings them here for the car-free weekend, and here, once again, as you say, the motor coach and the miles per gallon will matter, Amtrak will print and put the card in the trains, in the stations, in their lounge cars. So all we need is someone willing to, and as I said, it doesn't have to be much. You bring them up on Friday afternoon on the train that gets in at 12:45, which has been running over 80% on time. They've got Friday night, Saturday night, and then they go out after brunch on the 2 o'clock train, which has been departing on time. And they don't need to bring a car.
I think that this is something we need to really, really look into for future, because motor coach is going to be the way, with gas prices the way they are, you can put a lot of people on that bus.
54.
I think you're right. When we brought this up two years ago and it was $1.89 a gallon, it wasn't much. But when it's going to hit $4.09 this summer, it suddenly may be something that makes a difference.
When we were in Europe this last week, $7.50 a gallon. It's expensive. So I think bringing men in masses like that, yeah. Michelle, I think we saw the value in it. I'm hoping that the rest
it,
of us
and do. Coupling yeah. it, you come in mass and you get the free pass for the trolley. I mean, yep. just
no, yeah. it's
people it's, love to come and not have to drive. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves to not have to get into their car and drive. That is the number one comment we hear. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we have an advantage with our locations at the hotels. But everybody can come in, park their car, and never get back in there. And I think that's something we need to tap into.
Years ago, I was with a larger corporation, and they would do things like this to reward their better employees or employees that made certain goals. And we're talking pretty good-sized numbers, because there's a lot of people in some of the larger corporations, especially in Silicon Valley and in other parts of the Valley.
Well, this brings up, again, part of our early discussion, which is to try and see if this outreach to the Silicon Valley, because I think the tech industry people are still going to be one of the few groups that will have money in the current economy.
Well, I think too that there is one of the values again to us as the corporate world changes, like for sales incentives and things like that. They still want to do them, but in the old days they might have sent them to Hawaii. Now they can send them to the Central Coast. They can go wine tasting, play golf, do all those things, but at a fraction of the cost because there's no airfare involved.
Ours gives them an added environmental cachet to that thing as well. Well, it all sounds good. All you have to do is make it happen, and we will let people go about that. If there's no other comment, I will check my railroad pocket watch, which you can find me using at the train station. And by the way, May 10th, come on down to the train station, National Train Day. Again, Amtrak, it's first ever. They actually created a holiday to encourage this. May 10th is the anniversary of the Golden Spike. And so I will be hosting an event from noon to 4 at the Amtrak train station. We'll have toy trains on display and engineers and stuff, a pocket watch with a train pocket watch. So at railroad time, 10:20 a.m., we'll declare this meeting adjourned till the next time. Remember, Plaid is the new thing. Thanks very much.